So for the last 4 weeks, we've been recognizing. We've been talking about the different gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts, the manifestation gifts, and the motivational gifts. And so today we're going to start talking about releasing and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, God has created every person to be a supernatural spiritual being with the capacity to function not only in the natural world, but also to access the realm of the Spirit, access where God is, and bring heaven to earth. God's desire is that you be a channel for heaven coming to earth, for His presence and His goodness, for His healing and His love and peace and prosperity to flow through you and to manifest that in the world around you. Not one of us has received everything that the Spirit has for us. Therefore, the Lord is always seeking to release more through us and through His supernatural giftings. So whenever we put ourselves in a mode or a position to be His channel, then His gifts are going to flow. In John 4:14, Jesus says, "The water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." This well of water is for fruit bearing. It's for your own personal life. Only the Holy Spirit can produce those. There's nothing that we can do on our own. But the infilling of the Holy Spirit involves yielding our mind and our emotions and our will. It's a deep surrendering of the control of our life to the Lordship of Jesus. And this is the Spirit upon us and within us. It's for service. We're called to serve. We're created to serve, and we exist to serve. But our works of service ought to be pointing everyone back to Jesus.
Yes.
They should be giving evidence that we're His disciples. While Jesus was on earth, He did not accomplish His great deeds of power in the strength of His godliness. He did them all in the strength and the authority of His humanness. He was a fully surrendered man. And His ministry was a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit working through Him and His surrender. You receive that same ability, that power, to do His work in the earth. And that power produces in you a river of living water. John 7:38 and 39 says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By that he meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So the well of water springing up is for your own personal walk, but the river flowing out of you is for others.
Right.
I want us to look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 through 5. Ezekiel gives us a vision of a man leading the prophet out of the temple, and there's a tremendous flow of water coming from the temple as well. Starting in verse 1. "Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate, by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in. Now, the door of the house is Jesus. And the water signify the river of God flowing from his throne to people all over the world. It's the gospel of Christ going forth and the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit going with it. Ezekiel's prophecy gives us a picture of how the level of God's presence and power can increase in the lives of his people. Water, streams, rivers, those often refer to the presence and the flow of the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled believers have rivers of living water flowing from their innermost being. They are the source of God's river to the world. And God uses the infilling of the Spirit and then the outflowing of the gifts to bring rivers of living water to the thirsty. So in verse 3, when Ezekiel talks of the water coming up to the ankles, ankles are what the whole body stands on. It's the foundation. Faith. These are believers who have come to Christ. They're truly saved from their sins. They have a promise of eternity, but they never go any further than ankle deep. They don't have a full understanding and a revelation that they are the source of life for the world. So they just become spectators of God's power, never releasing the flow that's within them. They're unwilling to take the first step. And they aren't really too interested in understanding what a closer walk with God will require. They like things plain and simple. In verse 4, when he talks of the water coming up to the knees, knees are the joints that help us to run. God wants us to surrender the running of our life to him. So these believers have accepted a deeper level of anointing and a deeper experience with God. They're searching to understand deeper truths, but they're still afraid to go deeper into the unknown realm of actually operating in the gifts of the Spirit. He goes on to talk of the water coming up to the waist. Now, those believers are beginning to lose control of their movement in the water. How many of you have ever been in a swiftly moving river and water up to your waist? You're not controlling where you're going. The river is controlling it. We can't run anymore. God wants us to let go of our strength and the control of our lives to him. So these believers are in the process of surrendering everything. They are still fearful. They haven't completely begun to flow easily in the gifts of the Spirit, but they're making the choice. They're starting to take the risk. They're starting to step out. Finally, in verse 5, when he talks about having to swim, that's when you're fully immersed, totally living by faith, bringing hope and joy and healing to others. You've experienced that real breakthrough in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. They're willing to go all the way with God and begin to swim in his power and in his grace. God wants full control. He wants the navigation rights to our life. We need to be in the center of God's will before we can experience the fullness of the river of God. Activating or releasing the gifts of the Holy Spirit involves getting your mind out of the way, operating in faith. It's the act of taking what's up here and pushing it down in here. It's taking what knowledge you have and putting it down into your heart. It's surrendering. It's letting go of everything. Faith isn't a thing. It's a part of our personal walk. It's an act of choice. It's not based only on our knowledge. It's also based on our action in obeying what God says. So what are some of the things that hold us back from manifesting? Well, we say things like, I don't really understand the gifts.
Yeah.
Or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that really is for me. I really don't think I have a gifting. or, oh, God would never use me in that way. My denomination told me that these things were not valid for today. Basically, plain and simple, it's fear that holds us back.
Yes.
So how do we begin to release those spiritual gifts? And the rhythm. First is surrender. Surrendering totally to the Lordship of Christ. Giving your will over to God. Laying down our own opinion, our way, our desires. And we begin to follow and obey Him, even in the littlest things. We have to avoid the attitude that dictates what we're willing to receive and what we're not. And what we're willing to do and what we're not. I had a friend one time who told me, you know, I really want everything God has for me. But, and if I'm slain in the spirit, I really want to go down face first, not on my back, because I want my skirt to look right and I'd be huh? Yeah. And then there have been people, WJ, who say, I don't want tongues. Mm-hmm. I prefer not to have that gift. Mm-hmm. I'd like something else. Maybe healing or, you know, something really big. Again, we're telling God, this is the way it has to be. I can only operate this way. Surrender. Surrender.
Yes.
It's letting go of what we want and how we think everything ought to play out. God already has a plan.
Yes.
We're supposed to fit into His plan, not make God fit into ours. Second is prayer. Asking God to forgive any known sin, because sin stifles the spirit. We have to break the power of sin. We have to ask God to show us not only things that we recognize, but also things that are unknown to us.
Right.
Root sins, like pride, bitterness, fear,
yes,
spiritual bondage. When those are brought to our attention, when we ask God, He's going to show us. And when those are brought to our attention, we have to repent and move past those things. Third, we have to promptly obey any stirrings of the Spirit.
Yes.
When you sense the Spirit nudging you to say something or to do something, do it right away, regardless of what you fear. Do it right away. Be willing to take the risk. The gifts don't come fully developed. You have to work at perfecting them. It's a practicing.
Yes.
When a baby starts to walk, what happens?
Fall.
Take one step, fall on your bum.
Yep.
Get up, take another step, fall on your bum. Get up, take another step, and maybe they got two steps that time before they fell on their bum. But they keep practicing. It's the same way with your gifts. You have to practice. They don't come poof and you're automatically, you have all the understanding and all the power and all the knowledge of how to use this. No, God's going to give you all these little opportunities to use your gift, to practice, to make it right. Expect things to happen. Don't come into operation of your gift and say, well, this is my gifting, I'm going to do this. Of course, God's not going to do this. I know He's not. I know He really won't do what I'm asking you to do. If we're operating in the gifts, expect things to happen. God will show up.
Amen.
He will accomplish what He has put into motion. And as you function in the church in your gift, you're going to be more effective each time. Ability grows as you put your gift to work. Regularly read the Bible devotionally. Mm-hmm. And when you read a command, get up and actually do what it says. And then fellowship with people who know how to humbly flow in the Spirit. The flow of the Spirit is often caught, not always taught.
Yeah.
Listen to what others say about your characteristics, your personality. If they recognize your gift, accept it and move in it. Allow your faith to be stirred up by others. The discovery and the exercise of spiritual gifts is accomplished by the grace of God, not your own desire, not your own power. Ask Christian friends to covenant with you that you open your heart to the gifts that God has imparted in your life. So how do we begin to flow? You have to be absolutely convinced that you need the supernatural power of God to flow through you, to confirm His word, to minister through you. If you're not committed to the fact that God wants you to have the gifts and that it's necessary to flow in the gifts of the Spirit to be effective for the Lord, you won't flow. You don't have to flow in the gifts to be saved,
no,
to love God, or to be used of Him, but to be completely equipped, fulfilled, and to bring a blessing to others, you have to flow in the gifts. And remember, what is it that I've said for 5 weeks? Mm-hmm. If you don't flow in your gift, you are withholding someone's miracle. You're holding on to it. No one can receive the miracle that God has for them if He plans to use you to minister and you don't. I'm too afraid to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to step out. I might do it wrong. Mm-hmm. God is always willing and wanting to minister to people. And when we make ourselves sensitive and available, God is going to do the ministry. It's not you doing it, it's Him doing it through you. One thing to remember, God is not going to flow with you. You must flow with Him. He's not going to change His program for you. He has His objectives. He has His purpose. And until you get your purpose and your objectives the same as His, you won't flow with Him. What was God's purpose? Loving people and ministering to their needs. That's what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. Love people and minister to their needs. Someone read 1 John 4, 7, and 8 for me.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
God is love. That is His character. He expects us to love one another because He lives inside of us. We're created in the likeness and image of God. We are to be a reflection of Jesus. So whatever Jesus did, He did it out of total love for His Father and for people. What was it that Haley taught us on the fruit of the Spirit? What was the dominant fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love. And that is within us because when we are saved, the Bible tells us that that love is shed abroad in our hearts. We can only flow in the gifts when we are filled with God's love. Now, somebody read John 13, 34 through 15. I'm sorry, 34 through 35.
Say it again, John what?
John 13, 34 through 35.
A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Okay, Jesus gives us a commandment that we are to love one another as He loved us. And that goes beyond our natural understanding, our natural ability. That kind of love is not something that just comes naturally and normally to us. People are not lovable.
No.
People are not lovely.
No.
They're hard to love.
Mm.
especially people with a personality that just grates on you. They're really hard to love.
No one look around.
People with a personality that they are so hard to love, you know. But God says, I want you to love them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't mm-hmm. do it. Let me do it through you. Let me be the lover of
yes,
that person
yes, yes.
through you.
Hey, can I share something mm-hmm. about loving
yes.
somebody? Our daughter has had a really tough walk these past couple of years. She's just walking through hard times and really does not have two dimes to rub together most of the time. And she didn't tell me for a long time. She and her dad did not tell me. But the first really cold snap in Bryan College Station, there was a homeless couple that hung out near one of the jobs that she has. She invited these people in, she took this couple into her apartment, and she said, Mom, they stunk. They smelled really bad. And they bathed, she washed their clothes and let them spend the night. And when she told me that, of course, fear, mm-hmm. just grabbed a hold of me.
Yeah.
That she took these people that she did not know, these homeless people, oh. in and fed them and clothed them and took care of them. And
wow.
That is something that probably all of us would not do in this room, but my kid did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just,
compassion.
I thank the Lord for protecting her, because that's what I pray for her every
yes.
day is protection.
Yes.
But she saw the need and she took it.
She stepped out.
She stepped
Praise
out. She
Lord.
Took the risk.
Yes.
That was her loving them. It was God loving them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in chapter 14, John 14, 14, we're told to ask God for anything. So if we don't have that ability to step out, take the risk, love someone, we ask. And he says he's going to take care of us. He's going to do that. He's going to give us what we ask for. He tells us repeatedly, if we ask him for an egg, is he going to give us a stone?
Right, right.
He's going to do
so much more.
What is
Praise
his purpose.
The Lord, yes.
Loving
yes,
people.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And he tells us in verse 16 that the Holy Spirit gives us the power
mm-hmm.
to love in that way. We can't do it. We cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that reminds me, y'all might have heard the story about Corrie Ten Boom, that she was speaking and she recognized at the end of her talk that one of the prison guards a guard in the prison she was in was walking toward her, sticking out his hand, and she was like, God, I do not want to shake his hand.
Right.
I do not want to shake his
right.
hand. But she started remembering all the atrocities this prison guard had done to all these prisoners, not prisoners, but all the people in the concentration camp. And she said, God just said, put your hand out. And she put her hand out, and she said, I could feel supernaturally the flow of God moving
mm.
through me. And I often think about that, like if somebody, it's like God, mm-hmm. you gave it to Corrie Ten Boom
mm-hmm.
with him, and he did more things than I can imagine. And so
mm-hmm.
help
mm-hmm.
me.
You can do it through me.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it through me.
Mm-hmm.
A godly type of love
mm-hmm.
towards others is a marked characteristic of a true, mature Christian. And as you start to flow in the gifts, you're going to begin to feel a compassion towards people. God doesn't just give you this love to make you feel good. He gives it because he is desiring to minister. He is reaching through you to touch that person.
Yes.
When you begin to stir up the gifts, you should expect your gifts to work. And when you feel that compassion, you need to follow it up. You need to step out.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, begin to pray for that person. And then ask God, what do you want me to do? How can I minister to them? In the gift that you've placed in me, how can I minister? Remember what I've said. You have all the gifts. There's one or more that may be dominant gifts in your life. But whatever the need is that is presented
right.
before you,
that,
God is going
yes.
to minister it
yes.
through you.
Yes.
He's not going to say,
whatever gift.
Only these people can do this, and only those people can do that, so don't step over that line and try to do that, because that's not your gift.
Because it's not about us.
If you want the gifts to flow, but you ignore the compassion, you will not minister in God's ability. You'll minister in your own. You can flow in the gifts carnally, but all it does is promote yourself and not God. And it does not end up in the outcome that God desires. Remember, the gifts are not for you. They're for others. So the key to operating in the gifts is operating in the love of God. So whenever we feel the love of God flowing through us towards someone, God is reaching out to them through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is follow that flow through faith. So the bottom line in flowing in the gifts is us choosing to yield in faith to the Holy Spirit living within us to use us to minister when and how He chooses. And I've said this before, as you minister, don't be afraid. You might make a mistake, but it's okay to make a mistake. We're babies. A lot of us are babies in using spiritual gifts. And babies put their finger where that doesn't belong. Oh! Oops, did that wrong. God can take care of all of that. He's big enough to fix anything that we think we might have messed up. There's room to make mistakes. You have to recognize that you're growing. You will learn to express what God wants to say as you exercise. Just let love be the motivation. Follow after love. When you follow after love, the spiritual gifts will start manifesting in and through you. If that is your focus, when you get in there to where you walk into Sunday school, you walk into church, and you're like, Lord, I absolutely want to love everyone in this fellowship. Help me to love them this morning. And as you walk through, God is going to speak to you about someone that He wants you to minister to. He's going to point you in that direction. He's going to bring you to the person that has the need, and then He's going to meet that need. When you have a surrendered heart, you're going to find that there is a place that you will begin to move easily in the spiritual gifts. When your heart is surrendered, God knows the gift that's needed at the time. He's going to supply the gift to meet the need. We don't have to manufacture or manipulate circumstances or situations. God's going to take care of that. When our hearts are submitted, the Holy Spirit is always going to show us the way. So, you start with a quiet mind. That's probably the most difficult part for me, is to slow it down. Quiet my mind. Take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, quiet my mind. Holy Spirit, release abundant revelation in me today. I want the manifestation of your gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit in me today. That's what we have to do, is quiet our minds and ask the Lord to release that revelation and that power. And then watch God move. If the Spirit is calling you or nudging you or compelling you and it lines up with Scripture, go and do exactly as He says. No matter how scary, no matter whether you have a fear of consequence, if He says lay hands on sick people, then do it. If He says give your entire paycheck to the poor,
do it.
Then do it. Expect nothing in return, except for God to show up and accomplish what He has already set into motion. We also need to understand some of the ways that the Holy Spirit releases His power. I think that's the area that sometimes we get a little, how do I recognize? How do I know when he's nudging me or compelling me? Sometimes it would be through a prophetic dream or a vision, an angelic encounter, or the audible voice of God. Those are dramatic ways.
Really?
I'm going to give you an example. In the late summer of 2010, Wednesday night service, it was a very different service that night. Laura played and played and played and played. Nobody said a word. Nobody moved. All of a sudden, she stopped playing, and it got deadly quiet. But you could feel a heaviness and a movement, almost a wind, in the auditorium. I'm sitting on the back row, and I'm very quiet, and I did get my mind cleared. And I heard a voice. Excuse me. I want you to stand up and speak for women and children who can't speak for themselves. Me? Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm going to need a confirmation of that.
Yes.
And I closed my eyes, and there was a hand on my head. And it was Pastor Robert. And he said, Lord, as Maggie walks those halls of the Capitol, and she stands up and speaks for women and children who can't speak for themselves, I pray an anointing on her feet and on her words.
Jesus.
Okay, God. I have it.
I understand.
That was an audible voice of God, followed by a confirmation through our pastor. There are other times that God uses faint impressions, prophetic whispers, if you will. Sometimes they're mental pictures, reoccurring pictures that keep coming to your mind about a situation or a person. Sometimes he will use strong emotions. You're overcome with joy or an overwhelming love for Jesus or a deep sadness, a heavy burden for someone. Sometimes he will use physical sensations. At times when in prayer you may feel a pain somewhere in your body. It could be a sensation of heat. It could be a feeling of wind, a tingling, or a rush of energy. All of those are indicators of how the Lord wants to use you to touch someone. He will give you the impression, then you step out and you act on it. I've had opportunities in the past. One I can recall very clearly, a young woman was standing beside me in church, and I just felt the need just to put my hand on her. And I did, and there was such a rush of heat through my hand and into my body, and I, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Show me what the need is. And there was a picture that came into my mind of a little girl who had been hurt deeply by someone when she was very young. And I spoke to this young woman in that way. I just said, Lord, give me the words. And he brought out a situation that had happened to her as a child. that was burdening her heart so badly she could not let go of it, to walk in communion and receive all that God had for her. And when I was able to speak those words, she broke down in a puddle of tears, and God ministered to her health and love and healing. God wants to use us. I'm nobody special.
Amen.
You're nobody special. But in God's eyes, we are special.
We are. Praise the Lord.
We are set apart.
Yes.
To be used by Him to touch other people, to minister love, healing.
Maggie, can I finish a word?
Yes.
That a couple weeks ago, I gave that word about a little plug for Sunday school and said that there was going to be signs and wonders increase in the church. But it's imperative that you be learned, be taught to believe, to receive.
Well,
but what I didn't share, and I think I shared it last week, that he said, I'm going to start with the knees. And I only got that revelation when he's talking about when he's been teaching. Is I got my knees healed when I said that, but I heard it, but I didn't say it. But what I'm hearing this morning is that there's a block for those that are wanting to go deeper in the Spirit, even in this room, and He's going to start with healing knees.
Ooh.
Because the knee is the place to surrender, and what keeps you from surrendering is the pain that you've gone through on your journey, and that journey has got places that you were hurt, you were taught wrong, the things you were given one good example, that has caused a block that keeps you from surrendering and going deeper. So if that's any of you that are wanting to go deeper, but you run into a battle in that, instead of making it an easy transition, just relieve God to heal your knees and all those things associated with that depth of your walk. And then, waist deep to next.
Because the
knees are
what help us to run. And God wants us to turn over the running of our life to Him. Spiritual maturity is the result of living a life yielded to and in fellowship with God daily. And as we discover our own spiritual gifts and use them as we should, we're going to find that the church is going to be more like that well-oiled machine we talked about a couple of weeks ago, accomplishing God's purpose. You know, a machine rusts and falls apart if it's not used and started regularly. The same is true of our gifts. Use your gifts. Take the risk. Ability grows as you put your gift to work. 2 Timothy 1:6 tells us to stir up the gift that is within us. And it's like stirring up dying embers of a fire. You have to stir the sparks to action. Our gifts are there. We just have to, like a spark, we have to uncover them and fan the flame and then watch the fire catch. And it will. We have to be willing to surrender. Totally surrender. So I'm going to close today with Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Maggie, listening to you, it's very encouraging in that.
Praise the Lord.
About stepping out. Making
mistakes,
doing things. It's all God. You gave examples of how God spoke to you. And there was one example that I guess that I would share with all of you is that I was in Cambodia one time and out in the villages. And we were, this lady and I were together. And we were talking to this family, and the matriarch was there, and the brothers and sisters and children and grandchildren were all there. There were about 20 people that she and her family kind of gathered around in Cambodia. And so the girl, the lady, was talking about Jesus. And then the matriarch just stopped and said, "Now, you know, I've been a Buddhist my whole life, and I'm not changing now." And so the lady started crying. And so I just said, "Well, I'll finish for it." So, and I'm a faith Christian, so I don't know anything. But I did. I finished for her. And then afterwards, I said, "Why did you cry?" And she said, "Well, I must have made a mistake." I said, "It's not about you. It's about God. And you don't know what seed you planted in that group of people. You know, the children were listening to you, and the grandchildren were listening to you, but you don't know what mistake you made."
Right.
You know, and you know what God did. It's not about you, it's about God. Mm-hmm. And that was what you said all morning, was it's about God, it's not about us.
Right. So, next week, we do the spiritual inventory to kind of pinpoint what our giftings are. And so I think it's going to be exciting next week. I think you're going to find out some things about yourself that you didn't know. God's got a big package for you.
That's good.